back, Joe. We've been looking forward to getting some updates from you and hearing what God's been doing. So run with it.
Well, at the moment, I'm situated at a college called Kentucky Mountain Bible College, which is situated in eastern Kentucky in the lovely foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. Took a walk the other day and run into a professor that had several guns. We were able to shoot those off. So that was sort of fun. Be talking to the students here. We had a talk with the students one night. Be talking to those down the road. There's a high school called Mount Carmel. Talked to the middle school there, shared with them about the mission work and the elementary and the high school too. So that was great. Before we came here, we passed through Nashville, Tennessee, and work with several people. We went out with a group called Layman Lessons that goes out into the community to halfway homes and onto the streets to speak to those who have addictions to drugs, those who are homeless. It was wonderful to be able to minister to those kind of people. Spoke at a halfway home to about 14 men, one woman, and they were ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to teach them. And then talk to at a church called the Fellowship Church in Nashville, Kentucky, and talk to a Bible study group there. And, you know, before I continue, I just want to give my thanks to somebody who's been extremely helpful on this trip. His name is Nate Smith. He's sort of that tech guy. He's been very helpful driving me around, fixing up appointments to speak with pastors, talking at certain engagements, and it's gone very well. So my thanks to him and to his lovely wife. Praise God for that. We've had lots of opportunity to share the mission work, and people have taken an interest. And most of all, we're looking for prayer. We're looking for prayer. We're at a time, I think, in our ministry where I believe that God is moving, as I will share with you in just a minute. God is really moving. And so we really need prayer at the moment. And we're so thankful for that. I've been able to talk also to two churches here, Five Mile Church with Pastor Lorimer. He's a professor here at the Bible College too. And we had a good reception there. And then again at night, a church called Old Time Religion. You walk into that church, it's such a family church, and you feel at home. It's a wonderful place. And they were very receptive to the work, to the preaching of the gospel there too. So we've just had a wonderful time being able to share with folks here in Kentucky and Tennessee. And thank you for all of your prayers on this trip too. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Let's rewind a bit. I'm curious on some details regarding some of the street evangelism and stuff you were doing with laymans. From this year compared to what we saw the year before, well, and I guess for even the listeners, explain a bit more about that ministry and what you're seeing on the streets.
Well, a lot of the ministry has moved to halfway homes because the government there, the city government, have put a lot of these characters into halfway homes. So they deliver food to halfway homes where these people are now housed and seek for an opportunity to give the gospel to them. For example, we met a man called David who is now housed, and he was ready to receive the food, but he's also ready to talk about Jesus, which is wonderful. So that's what their objective is. They still do reach out on the streets. We did go to one location. It was by a brook, and people were living in homeless conditions there. We did meet a lady there in that location that was a crystal meth addict, and we were able to share the gospel and to pray with her. She is selling herself to be able to afford these drugs. Perhaps you can keep her in your prayers. So that's generally what it's about. Now, it has shifted a little bit on its focus just because a lot of these homeless people have been housed. So please pray for them. Layman Lessons, that's in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else is on your schedule? Looking forward, John.
Looking forward, I'm going to Michigan next. That will be our last stop. There's a man who comes down to the border, Doug Allen. He's a Winter Texan, but he comes down there to work with us in the mission that we have across the border. But he's returned now, and he set up three churches. One of his churches is called Diamond Springs. That there's another two churches we're going to be talking to in that particular area. Yeah, so we're hoping to be able to share the mission work there and seeking once again for prayer for the mission work on the border at this time.
When it comes to ministry, the support of the church is vital. Number one, through prayer. Number two, through the finances. So we welcome all those that are joining, Joe, with the work that's taking place on the border through prayer and through financial support. Let's shift gears a bit, Joe, into some updates on the border. I know many throughout this area. It's been a few months, I think, since we've had our last update from you. What are you seeing? What are some advances in the gospel that you're seeing? What are some hindrances?
Well, first of all, I think what appeared to be a hindrance was actually an advancement for the gospel. If you remember, I contacted you a few months ago because at a punto that we were going to on the outskirts of town, we had received a warning. It was a serious warning. And so I called you up, you know, and we decided to pray for about a week. I think you fasted that week. To see if, you know, to get a discernment from the Lord, whether I was to stand the ground or this was a warning to move on to another place. And I remember that after I talked with you, you told me after a week that you believed that it was a warning.
Joe, let me just interject here regarding this warning, because I think this is important. There's various threats and different things that have been faced in the past. But what's essential is discerning, is this a warning from God or is this just man? Because there are times in which the threats received are just kind of blown off because it's discerned that it's not of God. And so as we determine to separate and begin fasting and praying on this, at least in my heart, the main focus was to discern, okay, is this a warning that God has brought forth? Share some of the details on this, if you're comfortable, Joe, regarding what that warning was and some of these things that you've learned in facing these kind of threats.
Well, I was approached by a man that had a tear tattooed under his eye, which is a bit of a giveaway at this point. And he basically said to me, "We almost picked you up last week." You know, and that's as much as I will share with you about that particular incident, but that would suggest who he was working for, you know. And so what I had to determine is whether this was something that was a serious warning that God had allowed me to hear, or was this just somebody talking? I tended to think at that time, you know, that it was a serious thing, you know, judging from his character. And so that's when I went to you and spoke to you about it. Sometimes, too, you have a lot of people that are constantly telling you it's dangerous, you shouldn't be here, you know, those kind of things. And a lot of them, you just learn to let them go over your head because they're just trying to be helpful, you know, to you and to warn you about things. You know, a lot of people won't go with me to these places because they know that they're dangerous places. You know, so what we needed at that point was a discernment from the Lord to see whether that was a warning from him or this was just somebody talking, you know. And also there's the fact that you have to decide whether you're going to stand, right? Lord, do I need to stand? It could have been a serious warning, but the Lord might be calling you to stand too. So at that point, you know, I approached you and that's why we needed to have that conversation and that prayer that week, you know. And I also talked to Nate too, and he was praying for us. And in the end, God gave us that discernment, didn't he? You know, that it was time to leave.
And that is the heart of walking in the Spirit, discerning these things, because the flesh isn't always happy with the things it hears or the areas in which God does lead.
Because the Lord does give us serious threats sometimes. And, you know, like Paul, I mean, it was a threat for him to go back to Jerusalem. You know, he's threatened with chains, as one prophet had told him, but he still was led to go back. You know, so there's sometimes when you are caused to, when the Lord gives you a threat and lets you know of the circumstances, but then tells you to stand in the face of them. So it's a very difficult thing to discern, isn't it, the time we need to pray. You know, what really hits me, Travis, is that we should not only do this in these life-threatening situations, but in all situations. I think that's something that people need to learn, you know, and sometimes I forget when it's life-threatening, then you tend to get really serious about it, don't you? But when it's not, then you're okay, the decision, Lord.
Yeah, it is a challenge, but also a perfecting of faith, a perfecting of love that we all wrestle in different ways.
And after I talked to you, I wasn't sure myself, but I decided to go because we were teaching some children there, if you remember, and I didn't want to abandon those children. And what I decided to do after I taught them was to go close to the Punto and see if I would receive a word from the Lord. If you remember the situation with Jonathan, when he faced those Philistines, remember the Philistines on a hill, and he prayed to the Lord beforehand that if you want me to go up, then make them call me up there. And so I stood quite a distance from the Punto and to see if the sellers would call me up, and nothing happened. And I had this urgency of heart that I needed to return to the area in which we were ministering, where our mission was, and focus on that particular area. This Punto that we were at was about half an hour away from there, so the people there didn't know me very well. But I really felt the Lord was putting upon my heart that I needed to return to the area where our mission was. And so I began to pray at that point for another Punto, which was close to the mission. I can't say too much, but this Punto has a lot of action going on. There are three different cellars, and there's always activity there. So it would be a wonderful opening, So I prayed about that. I said, Lord, would you open up that Punto? At that Punto, several years ago, I had gone before, and I don't think it was ready yet to be opened. And I received a warning there too, so I left that Punto. But I asked for the Lord to open it up. We already have a Punto in the same area that is not too far away, maybe a kilometer away. And so I prayed about that, and I thought, well, I'll go there in 20-minute spurts during the day, and it's a bit safer, and see what happens. So I went there, for about 20 minutes the first day. I started talking to the sellers. And somebody came by who knew me as a pastor. The next time I went, the same thing happened. A different person came by who knew me as a pastor. In fact, one time when I went, this happened about 10 times in a row, there was two people that passed by. They were from the other Punto that knew me. So these people, without knowing it, were helping to identify me as a pastor, because in these places, they're afraid of you investigating them. So you have to be identified. And so now they know for sure that I'm a pastor. And because our mission is closer, on the front of our mission, we have a symbol of a lighthouse, and it says Faro de Santidad, Lighthouse of Holiness. And on that, and on our shirts, we have that same symbol. So some of them have now also seen that symbol on the front of our building, and they see it on our shirts. So this is a way in which we can be identified. So this is how the Punto, how God has opened up the Punto to us. But there was something else that was troubling my heart, and has been troubling my heart for some years. God has given me a love for these types of people, and sometimes that love causes grief. If you remember in Romans chapter 12 with Paul, he had a love for his own people, and it caused him a great and continual grief because the Jews were not turning to Jesus Christ. He even went so far as to say that he wished that his soul could be accursed for the sake of the Jews. I cannot honestly say that I've gone that far. That's serious language right there. I cannot say, but I have felt this continual and great grief for these people because they're not coming to Christ. We don't have too many conversions, of which we know of. There are a lot of people that come and go, so you don't know what happens to each individual. But I'm talking about those that are there all the time selling. And so we pray. We got the mission to pray. In fact, over Easter, from the Saturday before Palm Sunday, all the way to Resurrection Sunday, we prayed for 9 days. At 9 a.m. in the morning, we prayed for 1 or 2 hours, and we were specifically praying for souls of the community and also of that Punto. So we prayed. We had a revival at that time, And we prayed. And the most amazing thing had begun to happen there. The amazing thing has begun to happen. This is the stage we're at right now. Usually when I've gone to those places, and you've seen this before, you're kind of pushing a conversation with people. You're pushing a conversation. But this time when I went, they were looking for a conversation. They were looking for a conversation. In fact, one of the men there said that, you know, asked me a question. He says, is what we're doing wrong? It was a serious question that he had, and I had to be honest with him. And I said, yes, it is a crime. It is a crime. That might come back at me. I don't know, but I have to be honest with him. Some of them actually invited me when I was standing around to sit with them on the bench that they were sitting when they get a quick break. And I was able to share Bible verses with them. On the Punto at the edge of town, you went there a couple of times. It was a bit more hostile than that. It was a bit more hostile. In fact, one guy over there had actually asked me to stand on the other side of the street because he didn't want me around him. But here they were asking me to sit down with them. And when I spoke the gospel, they were listening. They were attentive to it. And in fact, one day when I went, one of the sellers spoke to his friend. And he said, you know what? You know, I feel bad because this pastor is here and we're living in sin. What we're doing is sin. This is the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and this is the precursor that people need to seeking for the mercy of God. First of all, you must have a sense of the condemnation of God before you seek for the mercy of God. And this is kind of the stage that we're at when I left, and that's why we're seeking for prayer, because I believe that we're on the verge of something big happening here. If we are faithful in prayer, if we keep praying, God is beginning to move at this punto in ways that I have not seen before. And I think that the secret ingredient is that people are praying in their prayer closets and they're praying cooperative prayer in the church. We really need that prayer. I believe with all my heart that God can bring a revival to the cartel group. That God can bring a revival to the cartels. So pray with us. We specifically need your prayer at this time. So praise God for that. I would like to talk, if that's okay with you, if you're still with me, about the mission, the mission itself. What's going on at the mission?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah. Well, we've been preaching through Romans. You just heard some of that right now. That's the kind of thing we've been preaching. And I was preaching at the end of Romans chapter 12 from that same chapter. And that chapter concludes with these words in verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. With good. Now, as you know, in Mexico, there is a culture of evil, a culture of crime, a culture of crime. Crime constantly surrounds them. And generally speaking, the people that we get coming into the mission are from the community. But these are those who are not necessarily, you know, selling drugs, doing those kind of things. But they are those that are victims of such things, victims of such things. And they're surrounded constantly by this culture of crime, and it affects them. So how do they respond to that? How should they respond to that? It says in the Bible, do not be overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by sin. But instead, as Christians, we are to overcome evil, the evil that we see around us, with good. And this is my prayer. We're training people for the harvest, and this is what we should be doing as Christians, right? And there was a lady, it was funny, there was a lady that came back a week later. Her name is Veronica, and she comes to the mission regularly. She lives in an abandoned home with two daughters and a granddaughter, and she's often treated cruelly in the community because of this. People refer to her as loca or just crazy, crazy woman. So this is what she had to put up with. But the Lord spoke to her in this particular message. And, you know, in two verses before the one I just read, it says in verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. vengeance we know belongs to the Lord. And she realized that she could not take vengeance anymore. She could not be vengeful, but she needed to return this evil with good. And this is what we need to see, you know, because we are really hoping. Please pray that there will be a connection between the Punto and the mission. During the revival that we had at Easter, there was a man that came in for a little while and he sat there for 10 minutes. He was from the Punto. Just for a little while he came. And that's what we want to see. But we need people there, workers there for the harvest, who are willing to overcome the evil that may come into that building with good, to treat these people with kindness, even though they may have been hurt, and some of them severely, by these kinds of people. This is what we need to see demonstrated at the mission. So please pray that God would raise up workers for the harvest who are willing to overcome evil with good. We remember that this is what Christ did, isn't it? It's what he did on the cross. As it says in 1 Peter in chapter 3, verse starting from verse 22, that Jesus, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He just gave wrath over to God. He knew that one day, for those that rejected him, there would be the wrath of God, you see. And we need to give vengeance to the Lord, as he did on the cross, on the cross. And when we do that, we demonstrate to others Christ himself. We demonstrate Christ. They no longer see us, but they see Christ within us. And the good can come, overcome evil. People can turn to Christ because they see something that they don't see in the world. They see kindness, like the kindness of Christ that said on the cross, "Father, forgive them." He was talking about those who had knocked the nails into his hands. There was a culture of crime then. He was speaking of those, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when we can see this demonstrated, imagine what could happen when people walk into that building and they see people loving them who they have personally offended.
I know a lot here in the U.S. culture aren't necessarily going to understand what you're speaking into. As these men come to hear the word of God, or as they enter into this church, the havoc that is just poured upon these communities by these men living in this darkness is fierce. The general attitude that I've seen throughout the community is, leave those men alone. They're evil. They're bad. Leave the bad guys alone. But this heart you're speaking of, Joe, is contrary to much of the sentiment throughout the area. Generally in the area, stay away from them. They're condemned. They're evil. They deserve hell. But this heart you're speaking of is one of grace, mercy, and doing goodness to those perpetrating many, many evil acts on those in the community.
That's very true. I mean, often they call them Los Malos, and even Christians have told me, they've pointed them out and said, "Those are Los Malos. Don't talk to them, stay away from them." And that's the general attitude. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, they're the ones doing the bulk of the war and the fighting and the ransoms and the killings and many other things. So pray for this church, because now what God has established, and even this new Punto that's opened up, and I know it's one you're returning back to from prior, but to see what stands out to me is to see God's patience in the process of ministry. Oftentimes, as ministers, we have some ants in our pants because we want to see things get done, and yet even returning to this location, it's one that you had prior left because of some discernment of the Spirit and a warning that you had received. I do just want to share as well with this kind of work, one of the challenges is threats come, and in some way that's part of it. But the challenge sometimes is discerning, okay, is this a warning that God is giving us or giving you, or is this a warning that is just a young guy running his mouth? And God's faithful in leading that. But with this church now, you have this congregation. They're growing in the word, they have the heart you're speaking of, Joe. It's young, but their heart is there. So let's pray that gets strengthened, that when these men begin to come in, they see the love of Christ displayed in that way.
And if there's one more thing, brother, that I could add, I think it's vitally important, you know, when that situation happened at the Punto on the outskirts of the city, you know, and it was about 2 days after I knew it was time to leave, the Lord gave me a verse, and this verse has become very important, I think, in the ministry, because it really shows, I think, what it's about. You know, it's from Psalm 56 and verse 13. It says, "Therefore, you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not kept my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" And, you know, thinking about that verse, I believe that this may be the second time that God has delivered us from death. That God has delivered us from death. You were with me the first time that happened, that God has delivered me. But for what purpose? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. We always have to remember, too, that ultimately this is about his glory. And more so than ever in my life, I've come to that place. I've realized that I'm only alive because God wants to use me. In fact, that first time when we were delivered, if you remember, you know, I was sharing this yesterday with the church, that I think we had one of the greatest prayer meetings we've ever had. I felt such a closeness to the Lord at that prayer meeting. And he said to me directly, "I believe the Lord speaks to us, you know, after this encounter we had, that I'm going to use you." And I realized that God wanted to use me, but I realized it was for his glory. I was alive simply for his glory, because he is worthy. Worthy as a lamb that was slain. Worthy as a lamb. That's what it's all about. We need to keep that perspective. I'm only alive today because the Lord is going to use me. And he is worthy. He is worthy, right, to receive glory. He is worthy of the souls of these men, that they would be saved, that they would be sanctified, that they would be serving the Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That would give God glory that he deserves, the lamb that was slain, right? The lamb that was slain to receive glory. He is worthy. It's all about him in the end. You know, I was preaching to a congregation and I concluded that message last night with this particular thought here, what it's really about. It's all about Jesus in the end. When we stand before him, when we come before him with those sheaves in our hands from the fields that we have worked, it will all be for his glory. It will all be for his glory. You know, he is worthy. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. So praise his name. That's all I can say. Praise his name. You know, may many come in from the harvest, not for our sake. You know, we have labored down here on the border. It's been hard at times. It's been difficult. It's been lonely. It gets lonely, especially when you're going out a lot. You know, you go through a lot of different things. We receive threats. We've almost died a couple of times, you know, but in the end, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it one day, you know, because he is worthy. He is worthy to receive glory. So praise God. Praise God. I'm just here for the Lord. You know, what I do now is for him. I have to walk before God in the light of the living. In the light of the living. Right. Praise God.
Amen. And may we just keep our eyes fixed on the day that we see our Lord face to face. For those listening, I hope you're encouraged and even challenged by what the Lord is doing with Joe. May we not be timid in standing for Christ. Also, may we not predetermine who we believe is going to come to Christ and who won't. Jesus Christ died for the world. His sacrifice was for the world. And as the gospel goes forth, may we proclaim it in a passionate love of him, in the assurance of salvation. May we be praying for the work that is taking place on the southern border for many of these men that are walking and living in darkness and some even loving their evil. May we pray that the truth will break through and change hearts and transform lives, these souls to be redeemed, it's not just them. It affects their marriages and their kids and the next generations coming up. This is very vital work, and yet we see the same even in all of your communities. There's a vital work for the gospel to be proclaimed in all of the world and in every community. So may we not just sit inside our churches doing our church things, but may our perspective become outward, and may that be founded in Jesus Christ and prayer and obedience.
Amen. It all reminds me of the old Moravian cry when two men, they were both married, had sold themselves into slavery, and they were on board a boat, and their wives, you know, were crying in the docks, you know, and their last words to their wives, you know, they'd done this to reach the slaves. You know, they sold themselves into slavery. Their last words to their wives were this: may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. May the lamb that's slain receive the reward of his suffering. That's a challenging cry, isn't it? It's a challenging cry, but isn't that what it's all about in the end? That he would receive the reward of his suffering.
Amen. Let me pray for you, Joe. Any closing words? Or
just like to let people know, we do have a Facebook group that if you write to me on a messenger, I can pull you into the group. It's a private group. And also, we have a prayer email that goes out about once a month or whenever we have need for prayer. And if you'd like to join up for that, you can write to me at Pastor Joes. That's PASTORJOES @AOL.com. And we can add you to that group so you can get those emails to get prayer requests and updates from there. And I'd just like to thank you. I know that so many of you are already praying. We really appreciate that. You know, on that particular night that we spoke of, that could have happened because somebody was praying. You know, that's how important your prayers are. So please keep us in your prayers. And we thank you for the prayers that you have been given. And God bless you.
Let me pray for you, Joe. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithful servants, Lord, and the ones that you send out. And I do pray for my brother, Joe. Equip him in every way possible, Lord, for the work that you have sent him out into. Sustain him. Give him a patience. Give him a peace. Give him proper discernment, Lord. Give him an understanding of your spirit, a discerning of your spirit that is powerful and clear and bold. As he finishes up his speaking time, Father, we pray many will be blessed and encouraged. Furthermore, I ask you, Lord, use him to fan the flame in the body of Christ, that the church comes to repentance in which they pursue you completely and wholly, Lord. Prepare your servants for these last days. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.